Good morning, Ekaro Ekwojawo. Good morning, welcome, and blessed greetings on this day of Ifa veneration. This is the official kickoff call and invitation to the Orisha Lifestyle Bootcamp. And so I really appreciate everyone who's made time on this Sunday morning to participate in the call, share best ideas, and participate in what I hope to be the creation of the best year of each of our lives, and likewise our lives collectively as various communities and members of the Orisha world. My name is Obafemi Oregunwa, and I'm going to be your host today. I'm the engineer, if you will, of the Orisha Lifestyle Bootcamp, and I'm happy to see we've got a good number of folks dialing in from around the country, as well as some local folks. So that's good. It's always encouraging to get that balance, you know, of folks from far and near. What I really am, hoping to achieve through this call is, at the very least, the opportunity to expand the way we see ourselves, to deepen our sense of self-awareness, have a truer understanding of our identities as spiritual beings, as members of a family, engineers and creators of our own reality, and people who will be able to look back fondly on our history and our place in the world and say, I'm so glad that I was present at that time in 2016 when everything shifted, when so many of the things that had been started in years long gone came to a head and were activated. I'm so happy that I was there, and I'm so proud that I was able to participate. Because as many folks will remember, back in 2004, when they cast Ifa at Oketase, and the Holy Odu, Iwori Meji, appeared for the world, Ifa predicted that Orumila's scope of influence would spread out over the entire world, and that Orisha Lifestyle would begin to recover and reclaim many of the descendants and practitioners who had been practicing other kinds of spiritual traditions. So in other words, that Ifa was going to spread his umbrella over the world, and that the children of Orisha would make their way back home. And so in the more than 10 years since that time, we've seen the tradition grow and expand and just spread into segments of the society that were really unthinkable at that time. We just couldn't really have imagined some of the things that are happening today. And so history isn't over. It's not done. This isn't a finished product. And we're making history every day. And we're creating our reality every day. And so, you know, this time next year, I really hope that our efforts and our focus and our commitment to living the medicine and healing our lives and healing the lives of the people that we're destined to serve will create such an impact on our lives and our consciousness that we'll be certain that our role is essential, and it's not, you know, we're not random pieces, that we're, each of us is very integral to the improvement and the upliftment and the enhancement of goodness everywhere in the world, but especially in our immediate environments. So I'm really hoping that we can pick up on that legacy that we know Ifa has promised us, certainly within the last 10 years, and we can, you know, pick it up with pride and with purpose and do everything that we can to make a meaningful contribution to our lives and the lives of the people we're destined to serve. And so that's a big order. It might sound a little bit vague and esoteric right now, but as we continue the conversation, I hope that it'll become more clear. By now, everybody who's joining the call, I hope you have all received the email, because in the email from me, there are at least three documents. You know, I sent you a link that has three documents in it, and those three documents have some exercises and activities that are going to bring the ideas home. You know what I mean? They're going to make it tangible and give you something to think about, something to do. And as we progress to the, you know, later on in the call, it'll give you something to talk about and share with the rest of the folks on the call. So I if you don't have that email, then I'll announce the link, and hopefully you'll be able to, you know, go to that link and be able to download those documents, okay? And at the very worst, you know, if you don't get that far, relax, it's okay. I will share the link, obviously on the call, and I'm going to upload the audio. So if you don't get a chance to do this, you know, at live when we're you know, on the call right now, please know that, you know, if I get your email, I'll plug it in and I'll send out an email blast again that will send you back to the link. You can download the documents and you can participate at a, you know, at your convenience tomorrow, the day after, later on this evening or afternoon, however it works best for you. Okay. So the most important thing is, you know, listen with your mind fully engaged, listen with your heart fully engaged. And I'll even say, you know, listen with the intent to listen to this again. Put it on your list of things to do, you know, to review this call and the audio at least five times. You know, listen to this five times and pick up on the nuances. This is something I know as a storyteller. I used to tell stories to children, you know, professionally, and there were some stories that were just standards that were excellent. But after telling the story, you know, 20, 30 times, you would think that the story would just get dry and boring and you just, you know, kind of zone out. But quite the contrary. The more you tell a story, the more life the story has, and the more the story begins to tell you or tell itself through you, okay? And this is a really important thing, that the more you tell a story, the more the story is able to tell itself through you, and it will give you more insights and understanding as you open yourself up to it. And so the story will find different people, you know, in the room. Different needs will emerge as you tell it, and the story will cause certain parts of itself to become more pronounced or sharpened, and other parts of itself to become more flattened, right, and less significant, depending on where you are and what the needs of that particular room are. Likewise, with this particular story that we're telling here, this is a chapter in a story that we're telling about the boot camp. The more you listen to it, the more the story will find the way to tell itself through you, and, you know, different healing properties of the story will come out at different points, okay? So listen to it twice, listen to it three times, listen to it four times, listen to it five times, and I guarantee you, you're going to learn different things, you're going to experience different things, and you're going to, you know, harmonize yourself with different facets of your own consciousness and way of being as a result of listening to this many times. So, you know, if you don't have everything you need because you're on your phone or you're in a parking lot or something like that, it's cool. Relax. You're going to get the link and you'll be able to come back to it. So, you know, for everyone who's joining us, welcome. I can hear the bells ringing. Lots of people are joining the call, and that's fantastic. I'm very excited about what we're going to talk about. And I want to welcome you formally to the Orisha Lifestyle Bootcamp conference call, and this will be one of many, many calls. We've got, for everyone who participates, you know, there's 25 calls scheduled, and Ifa is great. Today we're beginning on Ose Ifa. If you don't know, there's a four-day calendar, and each 4 days is governed by a cohort of divinities. Today belongs to Ifa, where we primarily will venerate Oromila, the Ori, the ancestors, Egungun, Oshun, okay, and Eshu, Odara. These deities are principal in guiding our thoughts and our spiritual consciousness every 4 days, right? And it is the new moon, okay? Now, the new moon is the beginning. We look at the full moon because that's what you can see. But that's manifestation. That's like after the deed has been done, you see the fullness of it. But the new moon is what is the dark, subconscious, inner world where all things are born, where no one can see except you who open your eyes and look within. This is the season of the new moon. And so this is the first new moon of the year 2016. And it is the day of Ose Ifa, of the day of mystery, right? And mystery is always unseen, even though it's right there in plain sight, like the new moon. It's there. We know it's there. But you can't open your eyes and look into the sky to see it. But it's there. And so the longer you continue to look, the more you see it emerge, and you realize, oh, yeah, it was there all along. I just didn't see it. And so it is with the mystery of our lives. And we're beginning today on the new moon, and the 25th call on December 31st is also Ose Ifa. Okay, and so we're going to go full circle with lots of divination, lots of interpretation of the sacred text, lots of sacrifice, lots of opportunities to partake of the medicine and the power of Ifa and Orisha to see and experience what this is really capable of doing in terms of transforming our lives and elevating our spirit. So I welcome you to what is definitely bound to be the biggest call of the new year. This is the most important conversation of the year. And I want you to open your mind to that. I want you to open your mind to that reality. This is the most important. This is the biggest call of the new year. This is the call that's going to transform the way you are in your own body, in your own consciousness. Accept that. Embrace that. Let it be so. Don't resist that. Let it be so. And again, that's so important because if we go back again to Iwori Meji. Iwori Meji, it tells us of the time when Orumila had a disciple, and his disciple was working hand in hand with him over the years, and his disciple was disciplined. He was making all of his sacrifices, but for some reason, things weren't moving as fast as he thought they should, or they weren't moving in the direction that he thought that they should, and he got frustrated and impatient, and he went right back to the feet of Olodumare, the Supreme, Orumila's boss, in other words, and he said, Baba, I've been making sacrifice faithfully, and Orumila's not completing my sacrifices. He's taking the materials. He's taking my money. He's not doing my sacrifices, and I know because my life isn't changing. Olodumare was not happy to hear that, and so he summoned Orumila, and he was angry. He said, Orumila, what's happening? I sent you to the world to do this, and you're not doing it. Your own disciple came and told me that you didn't do it. You're not doing it. Now, who would know better than your disciple who's with you every day, and he's telling me this, he's telling me that. And Orumila was, you know, sad. He was hurt and embarrassed. He said, but Baba, I'm sorry. That's not actually what happened, though. What happened was I did the sacrifice for my disciple, my Akapo. Akapo is the one who carries the bag. I was doing my sacrifice for him religiously every time. But the problem was that his Ori did not come to accept the blessings. And so he left them there, and other people, other entities came and took the blessings that my disciples already refused to come and accept. So it's important, it's vital, that not only that you came to the call, not only that you have your pen and paper, that you got your materials downloaded and you're ready. Those are superb, but that's table stakes. That's just what it takes to get into the conversation. Now that we're in the conversation, open yourself up to the blessing of the conversation. Open it up as something that you and your destiny have called forward. You're ready for this. Let it be the most important conversation that you have this year, okay? Because by doing so, this will allow the impact of the call to have a powerful influence, perhaps even a defining influence on your destiny, okay? And for me, that's a super exciting possibility, that this conversation might signify the beginning of a shift in your destiny. And I want you to open your mind and open your heart and open your entire being up to that possibility and seek that possibility out with all of your consciousness and all of your awareness. Okay? Because I believe everybody who's on this call right now, you're in the right place at the right time. Some people who are on the call have a lot of passion, very excited, very determined, but maybe lack a little bit of focus. You're not quite sure on which direction you're supposed to go. You've got passion, but you're passionate about red on this day. You're passionate about yellow the next day. You're passionate about rainbows the next day. Passionate about black the next day. That, you know, that's obviously that's not going to yield you a cohesive outcome. Other people are really clear about their purpose, but they just don't necessarily have the motivation. They don't have the drive. Just they're facing in the same direction every day. It's always blue that they're focused on, but they'll do it. They'll go hard for 2 days, and then they'll fall off for a month, and they'll go hard for 2 days, and they'll fall off for a day. They'll go hard. You know what I mean? It's off and on and off and on. Some people've got passion. They got purpose. They got direction. But you don't have support. You're a one-man army or a one-woman army, right? You don't have the support network that you really need to be able to carry out all of the vision and the passion and the purpose. No matter what the combination of there, no matter what the combination that you are experiencing up to this point, I just want you to know that this is the right place. The Orisha Lifestyle Bootcamp is the formula for spiritual support and transformation that you need to take your practice to the next level. And that's what we're going to focus on. How can we work together to take all of our practices to the next level? I hope that by the end of this call, each of you should know about this spiritual support system that I'm framing up as 7 days and seven ways, okay? Each of the days of the week, because in addition to the four-day calendar, there's a seven-day calendar, and that coincides more easily with our Gregorian calendar. It's still a Yoruba calendar, and it does come out of the sacred text of Ifa, and we'll talk about that. But it's more aligned with the seven-day orientation that we live with here in the West. I want you to know what that system is about. I want to help you to discover some of the secrets of your personal and spiritual power. And I want you to have the framework for a plan for outlining, you know, how you can approach the 7 days and seven ways to live the medicine to get really big results in your life, really big results. Okay. All of this begins with unlimiting your life, taking away some of the self-imposed or socially imposed limitations that will prevent you from doing all the things that you can. And you know, I'll give you an example of how this I live this directly. And why I know it's really important to unlimit your thoughts, unlimit your existence. I was a grad student. You know, a lot of you know that I took my master's degree in counseling with an emphasis on multicultural education. And one of the elements, the key elements of my graduate program was that it was about Well, man, about 95% people of color, Korean, Filipino, African American, Chicano, etc. They were like two or three students of Euro descent. Another distinguishing feature of my graduate program was that we had an end, we had a goal. Like right now, we're talking about goals. We set a goal of earning a master's degree. We were told what the defining elements are. You have to have this coursework, this coursework, this coursework completed. You got to have this many tests, this many papers. You got to have this many hours. You know, that was all laid out. These are the criteria for achieving this master's degree. But then the methodology for achieving that was left to us. They said, now you can create it. Y'all are free to create the system that you want in order to achieve that goal that you all came here for. And that was an experiment. They all the professors knew what was going to happen. They'd done this, you know, 30 times now over the years. We went right into fear. We went right into limitations. We went and created a more I want to say Western typical graduate program than you would have found at Harvard. I mean, it was just so airtight, you know. But it had nothing to do with us. It didn't reflect us at all. And I think we carried that out for a week before we realized this is ridiculous. We've painted ourselves into a corner here, and this program that we have doesn't reflect what we really need, who we're really going to serve once we leave this place. And so, with this particular section of the conversation, what I want to invite you to do is unlimit your thoughts, take stock of it, and not be pigeonholed into what you might have been conditioned to think. And to do that, let's even start with what is a thought. A lot of times we think of thoughts as worrying. We equate worry. Well, I've been thinking about it. Well, really, what I've been doing is worrying about it. I've been rehashing the same thing over and over and over and over from the same angle, and we consider that thought. And that is thought, but that doesn't define thoughts. Okay, that's just one aspect of thought. Some of the other elements of thought that I want you to consider and entertain for this conversation is the fact that symbols energize thoughts. Symbols are integral to thoughts. And one of the most powerful ways that I have discovered this throughout my own work is through helping people through dream analysis. Right? Dreams communicate through symbols. When you have a dream, you get an experience more so than you have conscious and deliberate thoughts. And so you can see something very simple in your dream, and it can have a very profound and visceral effect on your experience. And the dream only lasts 30 seconds, if that. But you've been transformed through the symbols, the power of the symbols. Okay, so that's really super important. Symbols are integral to thought. They energize thought. Another facet of thought that I want to entertain is the power of vision. Visions transcend reality. Sometimes you'll get a flash, you'll see yourself. Maybe you'll see yourself in a particular place. It's almost like a dream, but you're awake. You see yourself in wearing certain clothes. You see yourself with people and doing certain things. You know, and it's just a vision, but the experience of that vision transcends your reality, and you know something new is part of your reality, even though you can't quite make sense of it. It's a vision, okay? It really taps into your imagination, okay? Then we start to come into another aspect of thoughts that are really important to this. conversation, which are goals. And this is coming into a more a cognitive, analytical way of thinking that we're more accustomed to. We're, you know, education and our social environment really condition us more towards these ideas. Goals. Goals clarify vision. They provide focus. Okay? Now, I want to say that a goal has two main elements. A goal is measurable, and a goal is defined by time. Okay, by December 31st, 2016, I will have done X, Y, and Z. That's a goal. You got date, you got time. Excuse me, you have a measurement and you have time. Okay, by December 31st, 2016, I will have assembled 1,000 members into the Orisha Lifestyle Bootcamp. That's a goal. Okay, you've got measurement, you've got time. Then plans follow your goals. That's organization. Okay, those are organizational thoughts. Putting things in proper place, sequencing different things. Now, plans generally have three elements. You got, again, you've got time. You've got the scope of your plan. How big of it of an outcome are you seeking? And then you've got the cost. How much money is going to have to go into this? Okay? Those three elements of your plan are going to define the quality of it. Okay? And the quality can't be added later on. That's the one thing I want to emphasize about the planning part. When we start thinking about our thoughts around planning, quality is the key. But in order to have high quality, you've got to account for that in the beginning. Right now, you've got to think about the quality of your goals, the quality of your vision, the quality of the symbols, the quality of your experience. And I want to, you know, posit to you that it's important, it's essential, it's obligatory that you aim for the highest quality. You really dig deep into your spirit and say, what's going to give me the highest quality experience? Not what's the most convenient, not what's going to stroke my ego, not what's the easiest, but what's going to really give me the highest quality, okay? What's going to give me the highest quality experience? Where do I really want it to work? Where do I really want the sense of fulfillment and gratification? What do I really truly feel is the best for me? That's essential, okay? So I want you to take that in, contemplate that, marinate upon that, feel it, okay? Feel it. Highest quality symbols. Highest quality vision. Highest quality goals, highest quality plans, okay, because your success is going to result from executing those plans, ultimately. What we do every day is going to help us achieve that. And the idea that you're picking up on right now is that thinking bigger. We've got Ifa and Ifa. We have the one that knows the beginning and the end of all things, right? And we're trying to get, you know, focus on Ifa to get flat screen TVs. We've got the power that is ubiquitous and transcends space and time, can be in Brazil and Cuba and Haiti and Nigeria and Benin and Texas, Kentucky, L.A., all at the same time. And what are we focusing on? What are we worried about? We're worried about paying the rent. We're worried about what other people are doing, right? Think bigger. That's the unlimiting all of those elements is thinking bigger. You're not your thoughts. You're not your feelings. You're not your behavior. You're not your relationships. You're not your belongings or possessions. You're not your income. You're not your titles. You're not your initiations. You're not. You are the one who chooses your thoughts. You're the one who chooses your feelings and chooses your behavior and chooses your relationships and chooses your belongings. You're the one who chooses your income. You choose your titles, and you choose your initiation. Ori, again, going back to Ori, what we learned from Iwori Meji. The disciples, Ori was choosing not to go to where the blessings were. or Romila had done everything. But the one who was supposed to go and choose those blessings that were laid out did not choose to do so, and so could not benefit from them. Okay? It's really important that you choose big, 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 big. Choose deep. Choose rich and profound and very, very fulfilling symbols and images and possibilities for yourself. And to do so, we got to kind of grapple with who you are, not necessarily who you have been conditioned to consider who you are. So I want to ask you a question, you know, what makes you special? And think about who you are. What makes you special? What's really unique about you? If you are on the previous call on Ancestral Promise, you should remember that you recognize this question. This is a recurring question that we should ask ourselves at least once a day. What experiences and values and skills that do you have exclusively? This is just yours. What are three things that you can say about yourself that almost nobody else in the world can claim? I want you to take a minute to respond to those questions. Just write them down. You know, reflect on your experience. You might have to go back to the, you know, last year, 2 years, 5 years. You might have to go back to your childhood to really dig into the things that make you special. What's unique about you? What experiences and values and skills are owned by you exclusively? What are three things that you can say about yourself that almost nobody else in the world can claim? Okay. These are things that are going to help you think bigger because they're natural. The more natural you are, the more honest you are with who you are, the easier it is for you to think bigger about what your contribution can be and what the quality of your existence can be. Okay. What do you consider the impact of these unique qualities of your life? How have they influenced you? What kind of impact have they had on your quality of life? What kind of adventures have they taken you on? What kinds of relationships have they brought you into? What kinds of deep experiences have you had? What name the burning hot pleasure that you've experienced as a result of those unique qualities? What is the boundless enjoyment and happiness that you've been privy to, particularly because of your unique qualities? Where have they led you into just boundless joy and unique wisdom? Okay? And with that, I want you to, you know, jot those things down, and I want you to now go to the website and look at it. And you may have already done this, and that's fine. We'll just take a few more minutes to, you know, mull over the other questions that I asked you. But at obafemio.com, O-B-A-F, like family, EMIO.com/OLA16bootcampdocs.html. That's OLA16bootcampdocs.html. Go to that link, that website, and complete handout number one, which is the fundamental survey. Okay. And in that survey, you're going to see a range of questions that address 16 different aspects of one's spiritual being. Okay. I want to just take a minute because I know there's some people who have already completed that. So I'm going to give you 2 minutes to start going through that, and I'm going to make opportunity for people to also raise their hand and make comments on the conversation thus far. Okay? So take a couple of minutes to complete that, and then I want to hear from a couple of people. We'll just, you know, dive into a little Q&A. And in order to do that, what I'm going to ask you to do is I'll unmute your excuse me. You can raise your hand. You can raise your hand, and we'll be able to hear from you. Okay. Okay, so let's make a moment for some Q&A. I'm going to try this out here. Okay, so we've got a some space for Q&A. If you've got a question or you want to make a comment on something that you discovered in the process of completing those questions or the survey, raise your hand. Okay, I see we got somebody from the 843 area code 0242.
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good afternoon, Abafameh. It's Yolanda Payne. I'm sorry, I missed the link.
Ah, okay. The link is obafemio.com/OLA16. Then Bootcamp Docs, bootcampdocs.html.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Yolanda, how did you raise your hand that way?
What it did was it said to press #6.
Good.
I'm sorry, *6.
Good, *6.
And then once you press the *6, then it asks you if you want to fall into the queue to ask a question. Then
mm-hmm.
you'll either press 1 or 2, and in this particular case, you press 1.
Excellent. All right, so for everybody who did not catch all the instructions the first time around, that's how you can participate in the Q&A. So we'll keep that open for a couple more minutes, and I'm going to give you a few minutes right now to complete that survey. Okay, Yolanda?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, we've got somebody from the 205 area code, phone number ending 2807. Good morning.
Greetings.
What's your name?
My name is Abayomi. I'm calling from Alabama.
Welcome, Abayomi.
I had a question about the breathing in the survey.
Mm-hmm.
It had questions about like the sound of the voice and how to change your breathing to direct energy. So I guess #3 is my question about directing your energy through breathing. Will we be covering that at all in any of the lessons that you give? I know I signed up for all the classes. Is this particular thing going to be in any of it?
Yes. The breathing. Now, we won't do breathing from, say, a yogic perspective, not like that. But we will focus our breathing through the strategic use of our voice, through chanting, through prayer, mm-hmm. through invocation.
Okay. Okay. So I guess that's how you would how I would direct the energy.
Yes. Yes. Now, if you
breathing.
Know other through the yeah, that's how. I have discovered the overlap. I used to do a fair bit of yoga, and you know, the breathing is so important. And but in the Yoruba tradition, it's not so much that. But I did discover in at the same time through drumming and singing and chanting that there are when you chant. And you, particularly if you have to chant and drum at the same time or sing and drum at the same time, in order to do it, you have to breathe at a certain interval. There's a certain kind of, there's a depth of the breathing and a cycle of the breathing that induces the same kind of meditative connection. So,
okay.
Yeah, we'll go into those kinds of practices and experiences throughout the course of the year. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You are very welcome. Thank you. Okay. So let's go to area code 240, phone number ending 7951.
Oboshise Baba. This is Judith Belton. How are you?
Oh, very good. Did you say Jennifer Hudson?
Nope, Judith Belton.
Judith Belton. Oh, hi. How you doing, Judith?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, it's getting better.
Good. I actually have two questions.
Okay.
I didn't realize I missed a first call on Ancestral Promise. Will you be doing that again, or is there like a web link to access that?
Yes. Okay, if you go to my site, obafemio.com,
mm-hmm.
and you select... if you select appointments,
okay.
There's a pull down window that will say ancestral. If
okay.
you select that ancestral, it'll give you a place where you can sign up, and you will get an email link that will take you to the audio recording of that call about Ancestral Promise, which was a very good call, very very insightful and fun. I had a good time on that call. So I think you'll enjoy it.
Cool. Great. Thank you. And the second question is, you mentioned the seven-day calendar followed here in the West. How does that correlate for those of us that still follow the four-day calendar?
Mm, excellent. Well, the seven-day calendar, which we'll cover in more detail later on, the seven-day calendar really gives you more of a thematic approach, you know.
Okay.
Long life, prosperity, overcoming adversity, making dreams and wishes and stuff like that. So it gives you a theme for your day.
Okay.
Every day, and it's on the 7 day. And it also gives you some insight into what kinds of meditation or spiritual work you can do on a particular day, as opposed to the 4 day calendar, which is focused right on the deities, Orisha, Ogun, Shango, Obadala, or Rumila, you know, that's what those four-day calendars do. And then there's, you know, like I said, there's the lunar calendar. We'll allude to it, but we won't really necessarily, you know, use it. But there's lots of layers of the calendar that just give you what I call this just the divination of time. All of time is a divination. If you're aware of different layers, then you'll know, hey, okay, this is possible right now.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Baba.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's take one more, and then we're gonna move forward in the conversation. No, I think this is actually. Let's go forward. We're at 9:44. If you have a, there's some hands that are still raised, but feel free to email me your questions about this aspect, and we'll entertain those independently. Okay. What I want you to give some attention to as we move forward in our self-concept and envisioning what we can do in this time, how we can make the year 2016 the best year ever, is to consider how belief is greater than knowledge. The heart, in so many ways, is greater than the head, okay, greater than the mind, the thoughts. And I want to, I guess, hearken to a quote from Nelson Mandela, Madiba, who tells us that one cannot be prepared for something while secretly believing it will not happen. Right? You know that's almost proverbial. One cannot be prepared for something while secretly believing it will not happen. Right? You can't really be ready for something. You can't really truly be ready for your opportunity, your blessing, if you believe it's not going to happen. You know, it goes back again to that Iwori Meji. Maybe the Akapo didn't believe that the blessing was going to happen, and so never sent Ori to go and pick it up. So he was not truly ready. So I want you to, with that quote and that idea, just ask yourself, do I have any secret belief or some secret doubt that prevents me from being prepared, even though I really look like I'm prepared, even though I'm really showing up at the place, even though I'm really wearing the uniform? Am I really ready? Am I really prepared for what this thing is going to do for me, this blessing that's going to unfold for me? Am I really prepared for what my relationship has for me? I'm there. I'm looking like I'm interested and for all intents and purposes. But do I really believe that this is for me? A lot of times, we set a something in our mind that will allow us to be physically present, but mentally and emotionally in disbelief that a person or a situation can really be giving us everything that we want, everything that we say we ask for, but we don't really believe that it is what it is. And so we act according to our beliefs, not according to our thoughts. Okay? We're acting according to our beliefs and not according to our thoughts. So do a little inventory. Do you believe? Do you have a real faith in what's there for you and what's possible? And to what extent is the fear factor creeping in and dictating how you really behave? The biggest results, the greatest opportunities, the greatest blessings, the most soaring and transformative love, the most expansive happiness and joy, they're all killed by fear. They're killed by self-doubt. They're killed by ambiguity. Okay? They are strangled out little by little by those creeping doubts that we have in our minds, those stories that we tell in ourselves that, if this person was really committed to me, then they would do this because they know that I like that, or they know that I want that. Well, maybe they're doing something else that they know really does communicate their true undying love for you. Are you taking that into consideration? Are you, this is something that I remember once a Chief Atanda told us a great story about working in northern Nigeria and how there would be people, the local people And then there was the folks who came from different parts of, let's say they came from Yorubaland, and they went, you know, 500 miles up to the north to work on these projects. And they were professionals, you know, and they had big money, where the local guys were doing sort of grunt work. So as professionals, let's say they were making $100 a day and the grunts were making, you know, $20 a day. Well, the professionals would come and, you know, they would see the, you know, a guy sees a lady, you know, and he says, oh, I really want to take you out. I want to date you. I want, you know, and so I'm going to offer you, you know, $30 as a, you know, a $30 date, right? I'm going to take you out and da-da-da-da-da-da. And she would reject him. And then he'd look and see that this, you know, the local guy will come up and he's gonna give $10, right? And so then, you know, you come back right and say, well, this guy offered you $30, you know, as you know, as a token of his love and affection. He was going to spend $30 to you know, buy you food or whatever. And this guy only had $10. Why? Why did you choose the $10 guy? And the lady, this happened many times. It was like sort of a social experiment that he was, said many times. He said, well, for you, $30 is nothing, right? But for this guy, that $10 is everything. And so sometimes we'll be, you know, our fear will make us to perceive other people's behavior in a way that is skewed. Well, if you did this, it would really be a demonstration of of your commitment or your investment to this particular relationship. And it could be a business relationship. It could be a neighborhood relationship. It could be romantic, whatever the case may be. But the invitation is to examine your perception. What's defining your perception? Okay? What is really shaping your perception? And that don't allow your fears to define your perception. Let your highest aspiration define your perception. Let your happiness, let your joy define what you perceive and how you want to proceed into the future. Motivation, what drives you, what interests you, is personal. It is according to your own disposition and your own place in the world. And this is one of the things that I love about Orisha. You know, what motivates Obatala is different from what motivates Oshun. What motivates Shango is different from what motivates Yemaja. You know, part of your faith and belief in yourself and being driven by your aspirations is also being honest and sincere with yourself about what motivates you. Where is your passion? Is it connected to money? It is what it is. Is it connected to respect? Is it connected to power? Is it connected to love? What is driving you? What makes you feel excited about doing what you do best? You got to be really clear and honest with yourself about what it is that you really want, what it is that's going to really make you great, okay? And be willing to embrace that and accept that without judgment, without some kind of a comparison to other people, and that need to sort of categorize and rank your motivation against other people's. You can't be fulfilled and happy that way. You got to be honest that, hey, this is what's motivating me. And sometimes you'll discover, hey, my motivation in this regard isn't the most noble or the most lofty. And that's something that you can work on. That's something that you can enhance and improve upon over time. And sometimes you may have to, you know, improve upon it immediately. But you start with acknowledging and recognizing this is what motivates you. Okay, so I want to just invite you and give you permission to say, hey, I'm motivated by X. It is what it is. I'm motivated by this. It's Scooby Snacks drive me, right? Okay. Then you can start to explore, well, what is it about Scooby Snacks? You know, what am I getting out of Scooby Snacks that make me so excited? And that's a deeper psychological and emotional and historical, maybe spiritual set of complexes that are all valid because they help make you who you are, okay? But start with acknowledging those and recognizing those. Because this is all tied to a concept, right? And this concept, I think, is going to be super important for you right now, and it's going to be enormous as we progress throughout the year. That no matter what has been motivating you, no matter what you how you've spent your time and your energy and your money, I want you to look at nothing as a waste, nothing as an expense. I want you to eliminate this idea that this is an expense. This was just something that I wasted. This is just something that I spent my time. I gave 10 years to this. I gave, you know, $5,000 to that, you know, and it was just a waste. It was just an expense. Eliminate that idea. Look at everything as an investment. All of your time, all of your energy, these are investments, okay? And this time that you're spending on the call, this is an investment. The year that we'll spend together developing these practices and these habits and these experiences and the outcomes, this is all an investment, okay? To bring that into materializing and to crystallize that idea, just do a quick inventory on everything you bought over the last 3 days. Try to recall everything that you bought over the last 3 days. Okay? What did you invest in? Did you invest in your health? Did you invest in your spiritual development? Did you invest in your relationship? Did you invest in your children? Did you invest in your house? What did you invest in? Okay? Then you're going to repeat that whole process for your thoughts and your emotions and your actions. Now, going back to the website, obafemio.com, ola16bootcampdocs.html, there's a handout number 2, okay, the investment inventory. It's 9:57 on my time. I want you to go to that link, check out handout number 2, okay, ola16bootcampdocs.html, complete handout number 2. I'm going to give you 3 minutes, okay? 3 minutes to complete those two. And then, the handout number 2. And then we'll make a little bit more time for the Q&A, okay? So 8:57. I'm going to try a little background music so that we can mark time and not just be sitting in silence for a couple of minutes. So give me a minute to cue up our background music, and you complete handout number 2, the investment inventory, okay? Thank you.
You can do it on this?
But maybe another time.
But you can download the screen.
Okay, I will. Okay, thank you. All right.
Okay, so we're going to go back to a couple of minutes of Q&A, and if you got, we'll take just a couple of minutes. You've got star six, I believe, if you want to raise your hand and make a comment on this segment of the call and your investment inventory. We'll make some time for that right now. And this is an important dimension of just tracking where your thoughts are, where your energy really is, and what you're truly building up in your life. Okay. Am I on mute? Can you hear me? Okay, got some hands raised. Okay. So we're gonna keep pushing forward. As you complete, I got messages if folks are still working on it. As you complete those questions, just raise your hands and we'll come back to that segment of the conversation. And if you've got your hand up, yeah, we'll come back to that segment and we'll make time for you to explore and share that segment of it. Because we're at 10:03 and I don't want to delay too much. The reason why this whole piece on your investment inventory matters, what you believe in and where you're actually spending your time, where you're spending your energy, where you're spending your money, all of those things reflect your commitment. They reflect what you're truly going to get. And a lot of times when we talk about commitment and we try to create a reality check for ourselves for our commitment, it's in an exclusionary sort of a way. We're trying to prove why somebody isn't worthy of something or why somebody's not meeting the greatest or something like that. And that's not the desired outcome. Okay? The desired outcome is to help you realize, hey, if you want to create certain results, then you've got to be clear about what the input has to be. You got to really understand what's it going to take to create and enjoy the outcome that you really want. Okay. Now, I like stories, and it's interesting to me which stories stand out in my mind. But a lot of times, I think perhaps because of my Spanish language and culture background, I'm amazed by some of the things that happened through the colonial experience with the Spanish. Not that they were good or favorable or things that we should replicate per se, but they reflect a certain level of commitment. Okay, they reflect a certain level of commitment, and they outline sort of what we're up against, what we're into, how the West was won, if you will, the quality of our experience here. One of the things that blew me away was the story of Cortez, and how when Cortez got down to Veracruz, Mexico, you know, they were there and talking. You know, he was listening to the soldiers talking, and they had just gotten there a little while ago, and they're talking about Spain and talking about their wives and talking about the food and how, you know, they were looking forward to getting back to the climate and all this stuff. And so as he listened to these conversations, he went and he got some torches and he went to all of the ships without the soldiers catching it. And he burnt down all the ships. He burnt all the ships, you know, to their amazement. They're like, what are you doing? He says, listen, you guys are talking about Spain and you're talking about Maria and you're talking about the paella and all. Hey, you're not going to get back to any of this unless you complete this mission. How about that? I'm not leaving you any way to just be halfway in and halfway out. Okay, so if you want to go back to the things that you enjoy, then you're going to have to do this. You have to. Otherwise, you're going to die over here in, you know, this uncharted territory. And that's the kind of urgency that I want you to tap into. I want you to really take this as, hey, you're fighting for your life, folks. You're struggling for your life. You're dreaming for your life. You're aspiring for your life. This isn't something that maybe will be cool if you pull it off. No, 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 no. Let that go. Just let those thoughts and those ideas and those habits dissolve right in front of you. Commit 100,000% to the possibilities of right now. What is the most that you can be right now? What is the most that you could ask Ifa to manifest in your life right now? What is the most that you could ask Ifa to empower you with? What's the most you can become? What's the deepest emotion that you can experience right now? What's the deepest happiness you can experience right now? What's the most profound and transformative love you can experience right now? What's the biggest economic opportunity that you can achieve right now? What is it? What is it? Commit to it. Burn down all of the escape routes. Just destroy all of the bridges that would allow you to go back and creep back into mediocrity. There's a great book that you guys might like. It's called Good to Great. It's Good to Great. And it basically is based on the premise that good is the enemy of great. Good is going to just let everything be cool, and you'll just be sort of mediocre for all eternity because you're good. Right? And we say that. I'm good. I'm good. This is good. It's good. No. Forget about good. Be great. Okay? Be great. Claim greatness. Accept greatness. And walk away from good. Be great. Okay? If you can achieve greatness in any aspect of your life, your whole existence will be transformed. If you can embrace this idea that you can have your emotional quality can be whatever you really, truly believe it can be right now. If you accept that, your life will be changed forever. If you accept that, you can seek Ifa's guidance and follow Ifa's guidance and direction, and you can achieve your economic dreams right now. If you accept, your life will be transformed. Your whole perspective, the whole quality of your existence will be completely different. Your confidence is going to soar. Your ability to make decisions is going to be different. Once you realize that is your reality, it is within you, and you unlimit those symbols and visions and start to set goals and execute those goals from this moment, just from right now, your ability to make decisions is going to be different. When you realize what you're investing in as opposed to what you would like to be investing in, your decision-making will be shifted right now. It should be shifting. You should be experiencing right now with the kinds of thoughts, well, hey, when I think about this and I worry about that and I get worried, my fears creep up around this, I'm investing in things that I don't really want. I need to come back to this place because this is really there for me right now. This is just a small decision-making filter that you have right there, right now, at hand. Okay. And again, the drive, the repeating mantra of thinking bigger, thinking bigger, thinking bigger, accepting bigger, accepting bigger, accepting more, not being greedy, but just envisioning a greater set of possibilities is so important for us to recondition ourselves little by little, bit by bit, you know, and taking some chances, some risks. And I'll give you an example, you know, just to be out there a little bit myself. You know, there's a lot of folks on the call. I think that they were up to, I don't know, 80 people, 60 people on this call, and someone just joined again. So, you know, and I don't know everybody on the call, but I want to show you, demonstrate that there's a certain amount of risk that we've got to take to exercise and experience this kind of unlimited dreaming and following through with those dreams with the guidance of Ifa, okay? So for myself, I want to enroll 1,000 people. I want 1,000 people to participate in this boot camp, 1,000. I want 1,000 people to participate and have this experience, not because it will make me feel good. It would make me feel good, but that's not the driving motivating factor. Well, the motivating factor is that I know that as 1,000 people experience this combination of dreaming, really dreaming, and committing fully to their dreams and following what Ifa has to say, really obeying and submitting to the word of Ifa, the direction of Ifa, taking the medicine exactly as Ifa says, I know if 1,000 people take that on, then 10,000 more people are going to be positively impacted just like that. That's my mission is to help bring about the good condition, right, where we balance heaven and earth. And we've got to do that. We can't do that just one by one. We can't do that two by two. We've got to do that 1,000 at a time. We've got to hit 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, million. That's the only way we're going to balance this thing out, right? We can't be shy about it. So I personally, by December 31st, 2016, I want 1,000 people enrolled in the Orisha Lifestyle Bootcamp. Because I know those 1,000 are at least going to impact 10,000, okay? And the impact that I want in the over the next 3 years, 3 to 4 years by 2020, I would like for there to be Orisha Lifestyle Hubs spread out over 20 cities across the country. Every major city in the United States should have a hub of Orisha Lifestyle where people are committed to living the medicine that will heal their lives and heal the lives of the people who they are destined to serve through health, through medicine, through childcare, through education, through commerce, through building, through environmental work, through social action. That's my vision. That's my prayer. That's my hope. And I know that it will manifest, you know, little by little and a lot by a lot. Some things will go fast, some things will go slow, but I'm committed to that without doubt, without hesitation, without reservation, okay? Those are the kinds of affirmations that I believe we all can make. And I honestly believe that that is a platform upon which your dreams and your visions can come to reality as well. I believe that you are the catalysts. You are the change makers. You're the people who are looking for opportunities to participate in a greater vision of Orisha Lifestyle, of Ifa, of life in general. You know that there is something else that we can be doing than what we're doing. There's a better use of our time and our energy. I believe this is that opportunity, and I want to invite you to participate in that opportunity to help make it so. Because, again, history is being made right now. We're doing it. We are the we're the history makers, and we should embrace that and claim that and enjoy this really special opportunity to make a difference in the world. Okay? So with that in mind, I want to redirect you again one more time. This is the final stretch. This may take you a little more time, so I'm going to introduce it to you, walk you through it, entertain some questions around it, and allow you to take 24 hours to complete it and then share it with me, offline. So if you will, please go back to obafemio.com, ola16bootcampdocs.html, obafemio.com, ola16bootcampdocs.com. Check out handout number three. Okay? Handout number three is visionary goals. Okay? Visionary goals. Breaking down dreams into achievable steps is a very important skill. It empowers you to create a clear path from where you are to wherever you want to go. Remember, number one, plans follow goals, and your goals are measurable. They're measurable by time. They're measurable by amount. Okay? Plans have three elements. Okay? Well, they've got really four elements. There's an implicit fourth element, which is quality. But a plan's got time, it's got cost, it's got scope. Okay? And your plans will follow your goals. Number two, what gets measured gets done. Okay? That's why it's important to have a measurable quality to your goal. By December 31st, 2016, I want to enroll 1,000 people in the Orisha Lifestyle Bootcamp. All right? If it's measurable, I can get them. I can figure, hey, 1,000 people, how many people per month does that mean? How many people per quarter? You know, it becomes measurable, and I can start to figure out everything that I need to do in order to realize that vision. So element number one on this handout is dream. Okay? Think about December 31st, 2016 for you. If you could only accomplish three things between now and then, what would they be? And categorize those things as easy, challenging, and super tough, but amazing. Right? So for me, 1,000 people enrolled in the Orisha Lifestyle Bootcamp falls into that category. That would be super tough, but it would be amazing. When I think about what the impact of 1,000 people enrolled and experiencing this transformation, I think, that's worth it. It's amazing. Okay? So I want you to look at those, you know, easy. This is something that basically you could do by essentially just staying the course. Doing everything that you're doing right now, you probably would pull this off with very little more effort or thought. Okay? Challenging would mean maybe I'd have to give up something. I'd have to stop doing something twice a week, or maybe I'd have to start doing something twice a week. You know, I'd have to, you know, wake up half an hour earlier every day. You know, you know what I mean? I have to make friends with somebody who I don't really want to talk to. That would be slightly challenging. And then there's the super tough, but amazing. Super tough would require a kind of reorganization of your whole approach. It would require you to reorganize everything that you're doing, right? But it would be really worth all of the effort, all of the sacrifice, all of the compromise. The outcome would far outweigh what you put into it, okay? So now then you look at it on a separate piece of paper, you start to estimate that, you start to calculate what it would take for you to pull all that off, all of the things you'd have to put into your day to achieve that, okay? So we're not going to go all into that right now, but what I want to do is I want to explain to you how the Orisha Lifestyle Bootcamp can help you to achieve your visionary goal for 2016, no matter what it is, okay? The basic premise of this bootcamp is what we call Egbe. Egbe is your spiritual cohort, okay? It's your spiritual network, and it's also representative of your social capital. Okay, it's representative of your social capital because you have two forms of Egbe. You have the heavenly Egbe, which is spiritual, and then you have the Egbe idea, which is your social Egbe, your social group, like a fraternity, a sorority, even a gang. That's an Egbe. Okay, your Egbe helps you make agreements and helps you keep agreements. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to become an Egbe. We're going to affirm our goals. We're going to share our goals with one another. And we're going to report in with one another. We're going to talk to each other about what we're doing, how we're doing, what's working, what's not working, why certain things are working, why they're not working. We're going to learn from one another. Hey, what can we do differently? Okay? The other elements, you know, now the benefit of having Egbe, before we go into that, you know, what else is there, the benefit of having an Egbe is that one of the biggest elements is accountability. With this boot camp, you have a built-in level of accountability. You got somebody who knows what you're doing, and it's like having a partner who you jog with or you work out with or you take a diet with or you quit smoking with. All of the studies show that you're going to be more successful if you have an egg bay. They're all going to have everything. Very few things, even healing. People get, who are hospitalized heal at a markedly faster rate and more completely when they have a social network around them, when they have people praying for them, visiting them, bringing them food, et cetera. People heal faster. So egg bay is essential, okay, to your development. Another piece of the boot camp that will help you to achieve your goals is the divination. We're going to participate collectively as an egg bay in biweekly divination, which we call Itadogun. Itadogun is a biweekly divination that a society participates in. Through that process, we'll hear the pronouncements of Ifa for us as a group. Ifa will cast Ifa, and Ifa will give us a series of messages. And Ifa will speak to all of the conditions of life that help one to achieve. Here we're going to share the message like an operating system of life. We're going to, you know, Ifa will speak to our health, to our relationships, to our money, all the different main elements of life. And wherever people are most acutely affected by that, some people are going to be more affected by health, other people are going to be more affected by money or relationship. As the year progresses, you'll be able to make the sacrifice together, get prayer from one another. We'll be praying for one another and praying together for ourselves. And then also you'll have access to the specific kinds of medicines that will be associated with your health and your spiritual development. Now, this is very important because, you know, the divination, by participating in ongoing divination, what you need to know is how divination works in your life and other people's lives. As a diviner, we know because we'll cast Ifa for hundreds of people in a year. So we know what's going to happen. We're constantly working with the oracle. We're constantly hearing the word and seeing the results in people's lives. You are only coming in periodically. The average person is only going to get, you know, three divinations, four divinations in a year, make their sacrifice, you know, three or four times a year. So it's sort of sporadic and it's difficult for you to commit. I want you to be able to have the experience of seeing constant divination performed every 2 weeks and seeing how that divination is constantly manifesting in your life and other people's lives, because it's going to make it easier for you to understand and engage in the flow and the tempo and the method of Ifa, right? You get more into the groove and the rhythms and the patterns of Ifa the more you participate. The other aspect of it is that for all of those who take advantage of the medicines, you also get a chance to understand how the medicine works, okay? A lot of we're getting a lot of orientation around, you know, new exposure to what a sacrifice does, what medicine does, how it, you know, is it a crystal ball, you know, is divination a fortune telling? Is the medicine like, you know, some sort of magic bullet changes everything in a moment? You got to practice it, and you've got to have also a spiritual medicine cabinet. So at the end of the year, I want you to have a full medicine cabinet of spiritual medicines that you know, hey, when I need to activate this, this is what I use. Just like you know if you have a stomach ache, you take certain things. If you have a headache, you have certain things. If you've got a cut, there's certain sort of first aid. It's a similar sort of thing with your spiritual medicine cabinet. You need to have a certain, you know what I'm saying, a certain range of remedies at hand in order to practice Orisha lifestyle on the next level. Okay, so that's another benefit that I want you to understand comes out of this particular practice at the end of the year. We'll have a biweekly conference call. In those calls, it won't be me talking as much as this. We'll you know, divide it up and make more space, you know, closer to 50-50. We'll be inviting you to share your experience, to learn and to teach and be a part of one another's experience. And then we'll also have a daily routine. Within the book that I mentioned, The 7 Days and the 7 Ways, I outline a daily routine that goes through the 7 days of the week, okay? And you know those 7 days, Aiku, Aje, Ishegun, Ojorun, Ojobo, Echi, Abameta. Each of those days, we're gonna have a specific meditation and prayer for that day, but we're going to go through your daily routine as well to say this is what time you wake up, and we're all waking up at the same time. We're doing our prayers at the same time. We're eating at the same time. We're working out at the same time. We're on a routine and a regimen together as an Egbe. Again, we're moving as one. This is almost like a sports team or an army or a company, right? Where we're all moving at the same tempo. We're all making ourselves aware of the same impulses and responding to those impulses together to create the same kinds of results in our lives. Okay, so these are some of the main outcomes that are available to you, and I want you to understand and take advantage of. You can learn more about it. You can check it out at obafemio.com. And this is another link I'm going to give to you right now, ola16bootcamp.html. And at the bottom of that page, you're going to see the place where you can subscribe. The cost associated with the bootcamp is $100 per month, okay? The commitment that I want you to make is for 1 year. Once you set your goals and you know where you want to go with your life, you know what you want to achieve emotionally or financially or spiritually, you have this as a template, as a model, as a guidepost, as well as a support group to help you to achieve that every single month, okay, so that at the end of the year you'll be able to say, hey, this is really what I achieved, okay, and you'll have the outcomes to stand upon to say, it worked this way, or it worked in another way. So I want to invite you to check that out, and I'm going to pause right now, actually, we've got a few minutes, but maybe we'll go over a couple of minutes to make space for any sort of comment from folks. I think the Q&A is still on. If anybody has a question, now is the time to raise that question by hitting *6. And we'll entertain those questions accordingly, okay? So if you've got a question, you can raise your hand by hitting *6. Okay, we're going to go to area code 205, phone number ending 1639.
Hello. I'd like to know what are the days for the Orishas in the 7-day tradition?
The 7-day tradition does not address the Orisha. The 4-day calendar addresses the Orisha. So on the 4-day calendar, you know, today belongs to Ifa. Tomorrow belongs to Ogun. The day after tomorrow belongs to Shango. And the day after that belongs to Obatala. The 7-day calendar is Aiku. Today is Sunday, so it's Aiku, Aje, Ishegun, Ojobo, Ojorun, Ojoba, Echi, and Abameta. Those are the 7 days. And we invoke specific kinds of energies on those particular days. And we do certain things and don't do certain things on those days according to the 7-day calendar.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. What was your name?
Demetrius.
Demetrius. Thank you for that question, Demetrius.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to area code 205, phone number ending 2807.
Hello, this is Abayomi again.
Yes, Abayomi, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. My question is bouncing off of Demetrius' question about the 7 days or the 4 days. So,
yes.
I'm enrolled in your priesthood classes.
Yes.
School, and I wanted to know, and I may be putting the cart before the horse, but I was told that
whatever day you were born, that would be your Godhead. But I have not had an actual reading to know who is my Godhead. So I guess my question to you is, the first question is, what is the proper way? And the second question, do I need to know in the priesthood classes, or is it after the classes?
Okay. Wonderful question. Now, that speaks a lot to methodology from different schools of thought, okay?
Okay.
I'm not familiar with the correlation between day of the week and, let's say, the orisha, that your tutelary orisha. I'm not familiar with that. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just, I'm not familiar with it. My experience and training has been that there are a couple of pivotal points at which we discover which orisha you should serve. One is through your family lineage. Okay, now this particularly pertains to people who are in who are born in an orisha tradition. If your family is Opatala, because your founding family ancestor was an Opatala priestess or priest, then you're gonna, everybody in your family is a devotee of Opatala. Then you as an individual, when you're born, there's a certain divination that we do, a ritual that we would do. The Babalawo would come and do Esentaye. I think the Olorisha also do it. It's called Esentaye. And that ritual would also, there would be through that divination, we would determine which Orisha you would serve. But again, that assumes you're born in an Orisha family. Another way is through your where you are fully initiated, right, to Ifa, and then that's another way you could determine it. But that that is based on the idea that you would get fully initiated to Ifa. Now, before all of that, independent of all that, no matter if you do all those things or not, you have a guiding Orisha who is supreme to all, and that is Ori. Your Ori is the one that will determine whether or not the Orisha can bless you, whether or not people can curse you, whether or not you will live long life or have prosperity or direction or anything. Everything is dependent upon Ori, and that is what we would cultivate through this experience. Your relationship to your Godhead, which is Ori, your small portion of the Supreme Being's consciousness, that is what resides in Ori, which is localized in your head. Okay, so no matter what you do, you have to venerate Ori first and last. Everything is going to come through Ori. Everything. Okay? So I'd say, no matter what you do, focus on Ori at first. You know, develop your relationship to Ori, and that's what's going to carry you through and lead you to all of the other experiences that will make your spiritual life complete.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for your question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on and take a couple more questions. We have area code 702, phone number ending 3515.
Ikaro Baba, this is Ifayomi from Las Vegas.
Hello, Ifayomi, how are you?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you so much. I have a couple of questions for you. One is in regards to the forms. Excuse me, but I thought the call was a little later, so I chimed in like at about 9:15, 9:20. So I didn't get the information about the fundamentals of Orisha lifestyle, the survey. and what exactly is supposed to be done with these forms after they're completed? That's my first question.
Okay. So once you have completed those forms, they are you can share them. I would like it if you shared them, you know, with me. That would be great.
Okay.
But at the very least, they're for your reference. They're for you to just take an inventory of sort of what your assets are, what your consciousness or your attention is right now, and how those things are either leveraged to help you achieve what you want to achieve, or how they're mm-hmm. hindering your ability to achieve what you want to achieve. Because ultimately, I think between those three inventories, you'll be able to see how participation in the boot camp can work best for you. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, that's what this is about, empowering you to participate with a higher level of authority. Because, you know, over time, you know, you serve people and you see, well, we realize people have to drive. It's like a car. It's like a vehicle. You know, religion or spiritual discipline or anything, it's like a car. It's a vehicle that takes you from here to there. Having it and maintaining it is one thing, but in order for it to take you where you want to go, you need to get in and you need to have a destination.
Right.
You know, you gotta decide this is where I'm gonna go, and then you gotta go. And that's what this whole boot camp is about. Okay, get a destination, get your map, get all your stuff together, get your granola and your water, you're going on a trip. Let's go.
Go ahead.
No, that's what I was gonna just reiterate. That's what those three handouts are about. They're about, you know, getting your mind and your heart engaged to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm trying to go somewhere. This is what I need to do to get there.
So in regards to this group, i.e. the boot camp itself, starting with this conference call, becoming an egg bay, and as that is connected to the development of having egg bays or satellites for OLA 16 and, you know, different cities in the next year or two, mm-hmm. if as an egg bay here in Las Vegas, because it should be about four or five of us on the call here from mm-hmm. our particular egg bay, mm-hmm. can we take these forms as well and discuss them within our egg bay about how we plan to move forward as we incorporate it back into working with the OLA 16 boot camp? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Please do that. That is ideal, really. That's ideal. If you're, and there's a couple of other groups of people who are on the call in that same capacity. And I want to invite you to, you take these, go back, talk with your circle about them, refer back to the website, you know what I'm saying? Comb through it and look and say, hey, this is what he's talking about with divination, this is what he's talking about with this, how can we really use this? You know, how can we really use this? Because, you know, I mean, there is a collective aspect of Orisha lifestyle that cannot be denied. There's only so much you can do as one person, two people. There's got to be circles formed. And these circles are not just going to form themselves. We all need guidance. We need some kind of a roadmap and point of reference to say, hey, this is how we're going to do it. Now, a lot of times in our communities, people withdraw because they think that, well, if I adhere to Obafemi's guidelines, that means somehow he owns me. Somehow I am under, and those are the things that we have to let go of that. It doesn't, that isn't the point. The point
right,
is,
but
we need organization wherever we are, and we need direction wherever we are. Take it. You pick your own goals. You determine what you as a group want to achieve. You determine what you as an individual want to be, what will fulfill your life, and then you follow it according to these precepts that I'm laying out for you. That's it.
Got it, Ashe. And we appreciate you taking the time to, you know, create such a thorough guidance program for us. So thank you, Adupoy, for that. My last question, Baba, is in regards to the subscription, the monthly subscription for 1 year. Is there a certain time of the month that you're required to make that payment, or is that just contingent on your budget and you kind of create that as it goes along, as you go along? Because as you know, people are working to incorporate things. And for myself, as well as a few of the members in our EGBAY, this information and taking ourselves to the next level is highly important. So just knowing how that process of payment would go, is it the same for everyone, or is it individualized?
It's totally individualized. So if you signed up today on the 10th, then it would cycle back around the 10th every month.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Those were my questions.
Fantastic questions indeed. I appreciate them.
Thank you.
Please greet the good people of Las Vegas for us as well.
Ashe.
Ashe. All right, we're going to go with one more question, and I'm not sure if this was if we had already 205 phone number ending 2807. Did we already address you? Let's see. Did you have a question? Hi.
My hand is up. I am so sorry. No. No, you answered my question. Thank you.
Okay, I thought so. All right, thank you. So, you know, we're over a little bit, and we're going to wrap it up at this point. I really appreciate your making time for us to have this conversation. And if you have any questions, feel free to email me, check me out on Facebook, and let's make 2016 the best year that we have ever had. I'm going to unmute everybody's call and just let everybody say Odabo, and then we'll shut it down. All right, 1, 2, 3, everybody, Odabo. Uh-oh, that didn't work.
Odabo.
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 Odabo. Odabo.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so
much. Ashe,
we thank you, brother.
Ashe.
Odabo.
Odabo. Odabo.
Odabo.
Odabo.
Odabo.
Odabo. Odabo.